as a welcome to the show, the man, the myth, the legend, Tim McMahon of ESPN. Timmy, how about them Rockets last night, man? Wow. Oh, boy.
Where'd Tim go?
Oh, boy. Missed you.
Gone?
Did you cut him?
Are you with me?
There is Tim.
You got me. All right. I'm in the hobby airport. I'm going to try to find a little place. I guess I got like a little 5 foot square radius here where you guys can hear me.
Just walk in circles. I've done it many a time.
There you go.
How about the Rockets last night, man? That was highly, highly impressive. And, I mean, as much as you want to talk about superstars, it was Ariza, it was Tucker, and it was Gordon that really made the Golden State Warriors pay.
Yeah, and as much as you want to talk about offense, the Rockets are saying, no, it's about their performance on the defensive end. They were disappointed. They felt like they didn't play hard enough, smart enough, well enough on that end of the floor in game one. And, you know, if they can't stop the Warriors, you know, they've got to play that grinded out offensive style. Obviously, they think that they can get buckets with Harden, CP3, but they would much prefer to be able to get stops, get out in transition. They forced 15 turnovers last night. That certainly helped. And, you know, a lot of those shots, the guys like Eric Gordon and Ariza are hitting and P.J. Tucker, they're not necessarily on fast breaks, but they are early shot clock, kind of push the pace, you know, and don't let the Warriors, you know, get down there and get their defense set. And, you know, that's the way that the Rockets want to play in the series. They weren't able to do it in game one. That was their priority going into game two, and obviously they were able to pull it off.
I think the saddest thing for me with the Rockets winning this, knowing it won't be a sweep, is that you're probably going to be kept away from Arlington for Bartolo Colon's birthday celebration next week, a week from today.
I can't say I've put a whole lot of thought into that, but I do appreciate there being an athlete in the Metroplex again who is older than me and in significantly worse shape.
And still getting it done, maybe
exactly.
An all-star. I think that the Rockets – The difference for me on offense is that you're going to have to live and die with team basketball. And I like the fact that I don't expect 15 out of 18 for Tucker and Ariza again in this series. But I think that's you got a better chance when you're spreading the wealth a little bit if you're James Harden, where those guys get opportunities because of the buy-in factor on the defensive end of the floor. So I think you got to live and die with those guys getting some shots.
Well, look, I mean, that's obviously the design. You know, that's the hope. And great as Harden was as a scorer in game one, the Warriors didn't really let him get into a groove as a distributor. He had 7 assists, but they're all for dunks or layups, which, you know, those are great. But this is a guy who averaged over 3 assists per game that were three-pointers during the regular season. He had none in game one. Take that. I mean, that's a 10-point difference right there. And, you know, I look, it's funny, Mike D'Antoni's suddenly become like the big defender of ISO basketball, which I'm sure Carmelo Anthony finds hilarious, since that's what they butted heads about in New York, you know, Kobe Bryant in L.A. But D'Antoni said his deal is he's not anti-ISO. He's anti-inefficiency. Melo and Kobe at that point in his career, they weren't efficient ISO players. James Harden's the most efficient ISO player in the NBA. Chris Paul's pretty high up on that list. That is their best way to play half-court basketball. But again, this is it's a deal where they don't necessarily want to have to play just half-court basketball. They want to get stops. They want to push it. They want to get stuff early in the shot clock and not have to have Harden and CP3 grind out every single possession.
If there's a Mount Rushmore of isolation basketball, Carmelo Anthony will have 4 heads on that mountain. I mean,
well,
Mike D'Antoni should not suffer for that.
Well, the faces will be missing their nose because he cuts it off despite his face.
Oh, but he'll be here all night, ladies and gentlemen. He's Tim McMahon of ESPN. Does a great job covering the NBA, currently on the Rockets-Warriors series. Is Chris Paul okay? He got Rockets fans a little nervous last night.
Yeah, no, he's fine. I mean, you know, a little, I'm sure there's a little something here or there. I mean, he's 33 years old, and, you know, it's the playoffs. It's been a long season, but there's not an injury. He's not, you know, he had a little heat pack on his leg. He came out because he picked up his 5th foul. He didn't go back in because it got to be garbage time pretty quickly thereafter. He's walking around fine after the game. You know, I hit up a Rocket Source today and was like, is there anything to be concerned about? And, you know, 10 seconds later, is, oh, no, he's fine. So there's nothing there to worry about.
Do you think Steph's going to get hot in this series, or are the Rockets taking too much out of him on the other end of the floor?
You know, I think that actually is a big part of it. I do think this long break between games certainly could benefit Steph Curry and James Harden as well. You know, I think Harden's legs probably were a little heavy last night, which was that directly related to him going 3 of 15 from three-point range. But, yeah, to see Steph have two straight poor shooting games like that where he's only knocked down one three in each of the first two games, I think that they definitely are taking a lot out of him on the defensive end. I mean, they're attacking him. They're making sure they get him in ISO situations and making sure he has to work really hard on that end. And that's there's two reasons for that. Number one, he's the weakest link of a really good defensive team. He's the guy they want to go after because they think they can get buckets against the easiest. And number two, they want to make him work there. They want to really kind of test his legs, his endurance coming off of that knee injury. And even if the knee's fine, like he says, and there's no soreness, there's no pain, that's not necessarily limiting him. This guy has not played a whole lot of basketball in the last 2.5 months. It's hard to be in game shape when you're not playing basketball games. And so I think that probably has had some impact on his ability to be the world's best shooter, which obviously he has not looked like in these first two games.
Just kind of to further your point, I've been talking today. I love what the Rockets are doing. They did it in game one, too. The Warriors have a weakness, and they're going to exploit it. I mean, they just keep going at him, going at him, going at him. Will that continue as this shifts to the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, absolutely. And look, you can try to hide him. You can try to put him on a quote-unquote non-scorer, and I'm talking like an Ariza, a P.J. Tucker, even though those guys scored last night. All the Rockets are going to do in half-court situations is have those guys come up and screen for one of their Hall of Fame playmakers, whether it's Harden or CP3. And the point of the screen is just to force the switch. Force the switch, spread it out, and boom, you're attacking Steph Curry. I mean, they did that when they saw the Warriors during the regular season, and certainly they did it in these first two games. And, I don't see any reason why that would not continue. It's absolutely a priority for the Rockets.
Is cool throughout this entire series. I thought in game one he was going to lose his mind like 3 minutes into the game. Can he hold it together?
Will Draymond get teed up again? I would be willing to bet yes. Will Draymond do something extraordinarily stupid to get himself tossed or suspended? I don't know about that. But look, last night, I mean, I was surprised he wasn't given a flagrant at the end there, and it was time for him to go. It was time for him to go sit down so he didn't do something stupid. But that was a pretty blatant push. I think that was a bigger hit than Dusty ever had during his NFL career when he got a reason. What? Oh, I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
Wait, when you're not covering basketball, what are you down there doing, stand-up? What's going on with you? I mean, you're just on fire today. Jeez.
Just want to get a little jacket.
Ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to tip your waitresses.
But, no, Draymond was without question frustrated there. He got a little cheap shot in on Ariza. I was surprised they didn't give him a play. I mean, a two-hand shove just out in the open floor. Come on now. So we'll see. I mean, and folks in Oklahoma City know, every once in a while he might accidentally kick a guy in the nuts or something like that. You can never rule out Draymond boiling over. But all in all, he has been much better at controlling his emotions throughout the course of this season in the playoffs.
It seemed like last night the early turnovers gave the Rockets, the crowd, everybody a bunch of energy, and they fed off of that. I mean, how key will that be throughout the rest of this series, that they do force turnovers and they do get out and run and get that energy and get that buzz going?
Yeah, I think that's critical. And look, the one flaw that I think you couldn't say the Warriors have offensively is that they can tend to get sloppy with the ball, and that's something you've got to take advantage of. That's something you have to exploit. And the Rockets didn't do it in game one. The Warriors only had 9 turnovers in game one. And so, it is an energy thing. It is a get out in transition thing. It just kind of reinforced what the Rockets have been talking about for 2 days. Everybody else is talking about, ISO this, ISO that, da, da, da. The Rockets were talking about, we can't play poorly defensively. We have to play with a much more energy, and play a much smarter game defensively. And you didn't see, you know, they were locked in. I think you get those early turnovers, that helps you get locked in. It kind of reinforces everything. But you also didn't just the terrible bust defensively, where in game one, you know, Klay Thompson's got time to take a dribble, spin the ball, you know, check to see if there's any wind in the arena before he knocks down threes. You didn't see those.
Hey, I know you're watching from afar, the Eastern Conference, like we are. The Cavs look to me like they're almost ready to phone it in. Now, it could change if they get some momentum going and hit some shots in game three, but there's a lot of standing around going on out there with those guys.
Yeah, and you know, the Celtics, obviously, they've got some young guys who have been great and are really kind of growing right in front of our eyes, and, you know, feeling very confident. And, you know, Brian Windhorst, my colleague at ESPN, wrote about, as he put it, the organizational fatigue of the Cavaliers. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, LeBron is obviously one of the all-time greats, but there's also always a soap opera swirling around him. And, you know, they've played a lot of games. There's been a lot of just drama this season. I think that might be weighing on the Cavs. But at the same time, I think this thing's going to be 2-2 going back to Boston. A couple factors there. Number one, like, look, LeBron's come back from 3-1 down in the finals. 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. He ain't wilting with that. And number two, look at Boston's record on the road during these playoffs. You know, they jumped out to a 2-0 lead over the Bucks. That series ends up going 7. I believe they've only got a road playoff win this postseason. So as good as they've been at home so far in this series, I think it'll be a different story in Cleveland.
I totally agree with you. Here's my one thing that concerns me, because I'm with you. Like, LeBron, I mean, he tried to will him to. He had a 42-point triple-double the other night, Tim, and it wasn't enough. They do have to have some other guys step up. And when George Hill plays as poorly as he is, if J.R. Smith can't figure it out when he gets back home, they might be in trouble. And I hate to say that, because I've had back the Cavs and LeBron for quite some time now, but I mean, I did think the other night showed that LeBron can't do it all by himself against this Celtics team.
Yeah, no, the starting backcourt can't be complete no-shows. And you know, at this point, I mean, before the trade deadline, they go out and get Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood to kind of, you know, give them more scoring punch. Those guys are absolute non-factors. I mean, the weight that LeBron has to carry is completely ridiculous. But basically, he needs at least two or three guys to show up and contribute. And, you know, I mean, just role players on, you know, just kind of as a rule tend to play better at home. So I think that happens in Cleveland. I still think that's going to end up being a good series. But obviously we're going to find out Saturday night. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
The stock for all those guys that came over in those deals has dropped dramatically. I mean, what's Rodney Hood's contract going to look like next year?
I'm more than willing to bet that it's a one-year deal for not a whole lot. I mean, he's going to have to kind of take a prove-it contract. And it's funny, you know, that's a guy who the Jazz going into the season, obviously having lost Gordon Hayward and not realizing how good Donovan Mitchell was going to be, they went into the season thinking Rodney Hood was going to be their number one scorer, their primary scoring option. Donovan Mitchell emerges and takes off, and, you know, Rodney Hood kind of had to take the complimentary role, and he pouted his way out of Utah. Well, you know, the grass ain't always greener. The grass ain't always greener, as one of his former Jazz teammates pointed out after Rodney Hood got a DNP CD last series, in which he refused to go in during garbage time.
Well, Tyronn Lue might want to refuse to allow him to play, because when he's been out there, it's been bad.
I mean, it hadn't been pretty.
He is not playing good basketball. What's the go-to spot in San Francisco?
You know what? That's one of those cities where you really can't miss. There's a ton of great spots. I don't necessarily have a go-to, though.
Okay. Well, where do you stay? They put you up at some luxurious place up there?
Nah, it's hit and miss. You know, a lot of times you got to stay in Oakland because those San Francisco hotel prices tend to be through the roof. But I got, I think it's called the Adagio, one of those little autograph collection Marriott properties. I got in there, you know,
nice.
Surfing last night, found me a spot in San Francisco. I've got a high school buddy who lives out there, works in the tech world, and makes ridiculous money. So they treat me almost as well there as you do in OKC. I said almost as well. So, yeah, looking forward to that trip. Heading home for a couple days, though, Dusty.
You're not
trying to get Father of the Week, at least, if not Father of the Year.
That's right. You get to see your two beautiful girls for what? This will be what, 2 days out of the last 30? ESPN's working you to death, man.
I've been able to make numerous pit stops. It hadn't been as bad as I thought. You know, shout out to the Rockets for paying on their business in five games in both the first two rounds.
Hey, in all seriousness,
Dusty, that vaults you to Father of the Year status. Dusty has an ant farm. It's been a life changer for him.
You should have listened to the show yesterday. I gave a pretty detailed vision for people of what the Dvorak ant farm currently looks like.
It's a game changer.
Did you ever have one as a kid?
Never had an ant farm.
Me neither, but I always wanted one. So now my son got one for his birthday, and it's taken over the family.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Anything to distract them.
Anything to distract them. That's absolutely right. Hey, man, safe travels.
Dusty's father of the year until that thing breaks, and then it carries
off
the family.
He wants to get off the line. He wants to go, Mark.
See you,
Tim. Let Tim go.
Sorry,
safe travels, buddy.
I apologize.
Appreciate it, fellas. Take care.
Peace out, buddy.